You're listening to Beyond the Campaign, and this is a special bonus episode. Welcome to Beyond the Campaign. I'm your host, Michelle Glogoback, podcast publicist, author, and host of this show and Read the Damn Book. Here, you're going to learn from political candidates and from politicians. We're not just going to talk about the issues. We're going to talk about the human beings who are investing themselves in us so that we can invest ourselves in them. This is Beyond the Campaign. Hi, friends. I'm your host, Michelle Glogoback, and this episode is going out on both Beyond the Campaign and Read the Damn Book because our country is currently in crisis in regards to the First Amendment. Our freedom of speech is being threatened. Yesterday, Jimmy Kimmel was canceled indefinitely. Why? Because of comments he made about Charlie Kirk. They were not negative comments, but our president has decided that he should be canceled. The FCC has come after him, and much more. This is not okay. As a podcast host, as an author, I take freedom of speech very seriously, and you should too. That is why it is our First Amendment. I am joined today by Aaron Parnas, who is an independent journalist. He is everywhere. If you're not following him, you should be. You need to be. Aaron shares breaking news, news updates, and they are not his opinion. They are strictly the news. He is informing all of us and has made it his career to do this. I'm so grateful that he had the moment to sit down with me because he is a very busy, busy man reporting all of this news and is sharing what this means for our country, what we can do, how we need to be informed, and much more. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, well, you know, I wish we were meeting under better circumstances.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. It's tough times right now.
It is. And at least we don't have the breaking news running above your head right now, although it is always breaking. So
I'm sure there'll be something that pops up in the next 30 minutes or so. So right? We'll see.
Right. Yeah. Before we dive into what's going on in the world today, can you introduce yourself, please?
For sure. My name is Aaron Parnas. I'm an independent journalist and content creator that focuses on educating as many people as possible about current events and news in under 60 seconds or less.
And you're amazing. I refer to you in my household as the Doogie Howser of law because you did the whole law school thing. You're going to be an attorney. I went to law school. I ended up getting my master's instead. And I feel like having that background has definitely been helpful in understanding what we're seeing right now. But I want to really dive into what happened yesterday with Jimmy Kimmel, with our freedom of speech. Yeah. What is your take on all of this? Because I truly feel like people like you, like myself, having a podcast, having multiple podcasts, that we're the last standing and we're going to be.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I think I have two kind of reactions. The first is that right now, independent media and this podcasting world and content creators that focus on journalism and media is more important than ever before. Because, right, we're not controlled by any one corporation or any billionaire that decides what we can and can't say, whether or not we receive funding. It's ultimately the viewers that decide whether or not we have a platform. And I think that is so important in this day and age when mainstream media is really caving to Donald Trump, to this White House. But I think in a more kind of macro level of things, this is something that we've seen now for, 8 months or so, 8 months in a couple of days. And what we're seeing is Donald Trump test the bounds of how far he can go with dismantling institutions, attacking constitutional rights, and just breaking down societal norms. And what he's doing is he's seeing how far he can push the line before he gets pushback. He's done it with constitutional rights, birthright citizenship, that executive order, various legal issues concerning the National Guard, et cetera. And he's gotten pushback from the courts. And so he can only go so far. Now with the media and with institutions, he's also seeing, well, let's see how far I really can push this. He's suing the New York Times. He's going after the Wall Street Journal. He already got millions of dollars worth of settlements from ABC and CBS. And now he's saying, well, let's try to deplatform folks. Let's see if we can get these people that I don't like off air. Because if anyone knows Donald Trump, he watches a lot of TV. He doesn't want to see people that are critical of him. And so this is just another example of him pushing this line to see, well, can I get away with deplatforming Jimmy Kimmel? I got away with Colbert. It was a little bit of a different situation. Now we can do Kimmel. this works, I guarantee you in a month from now, it'll be Fallon and Myers. And we'll see whether or not society pushes back and if society pushes back.
And I feel like we are pushing back. I mean, we canceled our Disney Plus subscription. I know a lot of friends who have done the same. They've moved their money over to places like Midas Touch, to you, to subscribing to independent journalism. Why are we not seeing these corporations pushing back? Why is the fear so deep when it comes to a corporation or it comes to a politician? This is where I get very confused, because I am just one single person who really feels like I don't have a ton of power, and yet I'm willing to push back. So why aren't we seeing the pushback from these larger corporations, institutions?
Because they're terrified. I mean, truthfully, that is the reason why. And when you have a large corporation that ultimately gets funding based on advertisements, corporations that get funding based on these large donors who can control the narrative, they're terrified. They're scared, because this White House truly does have a grip on them. And I get it to an extent. If ABC and NBC say, you know what, screw you, Trump. No, we're not. We're going to fight back. We're going to hold you accountable, whatever. Well, he can revoke their media license. And they're going to lose a lot more than what they're losing now if that ever happens.
So what do you do? What do we do? What do you do? What do I do? What do we all do?
You invest in independent ways of getting news. I mean, truthfully, that is the future. And I encourage anyone on these major media platforms to go independent as well. We saw Terry Moran go independent, Jim Acosta go independent. It's only going to continue happening. Because when you're independent, you're not beholden to these large conglomerates in any way.
Tell me, because I'm very curious, you get your breaking news like crazy fast. I'm absolutely amazed, very impressed. How is it that you are getting so much information in such real time? You're breaking it before CNN gets me the alert to my phone.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit crazy, but I have multiple ways of getting news. The first is obviously through tips that I get from followers every single day of news stories that are coming out. I also get a ton of tips from folks on Capitol Hill, folks within the executive branch who kind of send me information on background or behind the scenes. So I know there's very few news stories that are truly breaking for me anymore, because I know when they're coming, a lot of them. So that's number one. Number two, I have the notifications of every member of Congress and every world leader on Twitter and Truth Social. And so when something is posted, I'm the first one to kind of see it and I could report on it. Number three, I watch C-SPAN religiously in my house all day, every day, and watch what's happening on Capitol Hill, what's happening in various press conferences. And then number four, I have a very select few of journalists and outlets that I genuinely trust. And I look to them more every day, just like once a day, for the more investigative pieces. So like ProPublica, for example, does great work. And I look to them once a day and I see whether or not they're out with anything really explosive that I can help amplify their work in a way.
You're crazy talented. And I don't know how you do it. I don't know how your wife does it.
Because she bears with me. She keeps up with me, but I love her. I mean, I wouldn't be able to do this without her. So
you made me lose track of my thought, because I'm like, this is a lot for any one person to be doing. So yeah. for those who don't know your background, that you did go to law school, you were going down this path. What made you want to pivot to being independent journalist, to wanting to be this trusted source? Because this is a huge move, especially once you've invested in law school, but to want to take this career path on.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to. This was never the plan, right? I wanted to be a lawyer. My dream job still to this day is to be a public defender and be in a courtroom every single day. And that is what I plan on doing at some point in my life, once I'm able to kind of sustain myself up, not on a public defender salary. We need to pay them more. But besides that, I kind of fell into this because when Russia invaded Ukraine in 2022, I had family in Ukraine at the time. And that back then, I was about 18 months out of law school, and I was watching what was happening on the ground in Ukraine. And then I was comparing it to what I was hearing from cable news here in the States. And I felt like there was a major disconnect between the two. And so I just whipped out my phone and just started sharing what my family on the ground was going through. And within a week, I had 1 million followers who were interested about Ukraine. And I never thought that that was ever possible, because who cares about, in America, who cares about what's happening in Eastern Europe? Few people do. I mean, this is not like a major issue, but it was made a major issue because of social media. This was the first war that young people my age really were kind of invested in, and they wanted to learn more. And so I just continued educating them on Ukraine. And then eventually it got to a point where I couldn't do full-time legal work and also do this both. I mean, I did it for a long time, for a couple of years, but I realized that I was only giving kind of 50% to each, and I wanted to give 100% to one thing. And so I was like, you know what, let's just make the jump now. I'll always have the law degree. I can always go back to it if I wanted to. But right now, let's just bet on myself.
And I think you bet well.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. I remember when in the beginning, you've taken off the breaking news part of when you're posting a video, but everybody would say, oh, Aaron's back with breaking news, you know, our nervous system's being shot. And now I open up my Instagram app and I know that when I see you as the first thing, you're going to have something important to say. And I stop and I watch and I'm informed. And over half the time, I now know first what's going on in the news, then friends, then family, because of you. And so to me, that's a big deal. And I appreciate you. And I need more Americans to appreciate the work that you're putting into this. And, you know, while we're talking about what you do and appreciating you, you know, especially after last week, we now have people who are getting doxxed and threatened. Yep. And it's very concerning. I have a close friend who is another, you know, political influencer who was doxxed last week. And you, I imagine, get even more threats and it's out there. What is that like for you personally, besides being absolutely ridiculous, scary, you know, all of that, but you're putting yourself out there despite these ridiculous threats for simply sharing the news?
Well, I think for me, I feel like what I do is a service to the public rather than a service to myself. And so I really feel a greater responsibility here to educate people and just provide accurate information. And that, to me, surpasses any threat I could receive. Obviously, I've taken measures to protect myself, to protect my loved ones. And I definitely share a lot less of my personal life online than other influencers do for that reason. But I think I've said it from the beginning that if I wasn't getting threats, if people weren't kind of going after me, then I'd be doing something wrong. And so I kind of take them and have a bit of a chip on my shoulder when I get them and kind of, yeah, obviously I'll respond and protect myself when they're serious. But for me, and it's very different for me than it is for example, someone getting doxxed and being fired from an employer, because my boss is me, right? I'm not scared of being fired. If I was at a law firm, I'd be a different situation. And also at the same time, I don't share my opinion that much, if ever. And so you're never going to hear my opinion on Charlie Kirk. I'm not going to share it. But I will tell you what happened. And when we learn why it happened, I'll tell you why it happened. And so I'll never be in a situation where folks will go after me because I said something that may be deemed inappropriate, because I just won't share my opinion.
And yet I think that the people who do threaten, who are making these baseless things, are taking the news as your opinion, even though it's not your opinion. You're simply because, quote, you know, we take it out of context, quote unquote, when it's literally fact that you are reporting, which is why I think that the country's in the state that it's in, because fact is now being taken as opinion when it's not. You're reporting the news.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I always say, don't shoot the messenger, shoot the message. And yet I somehow they're coming after me every time, even though I'm just the one sharing it. And it's not just on the right, right? It's on the left, it's on the right, it's everywhere. I mean, when people don't like what they're hearing, they go after the person telling them. And it's unfortunate, but I think that we need more media literacy in this country, and hopefully we will get there at some point so that that doesn't continue happening.
I wish that more Americans would be concerned about America. And I think that, you know, when we look at Stephen Colbert's speech, when I think back to Cory Booker's speech of, you know, if you really love this country, then this should be breaking you apart right now. Otherwise, you don't really love the country.
100%. 100%. And it's funny. I think that like there's so many people concerned about cancel culture and they're the ones now canceling everyone. So many people concerned about free speech and then they're the ones limiting it. And so everything that, in a way, everything Donald Trump ran on, it's kind of being the opposite is being thrown at us right now. And it's pretty interesting.
It's very interesting to see who closes their eyes, who turns their heads, who speaks up to what topics come up. It's eye-opening for the rest of us.
Yes.
Are you, you're obviously glad that you've taken this career position and that you are doing this. I did see that last week you were with, was it Headspace or you took a day and yet there was still breaking news.
I try to.
How are you functioning, my friend? Because I worry about you. I'm like, I could be your mother. I have a 26-year-old stepson. And so I could be your mother. And I'm like, oh, Aaron, we must take care of you.
Well,
how are
this.
You doing?
A lot of people ask me that question. I love what I do. And when you love what you do, it doesn't feel like you're doing work. And so am I exhausted? Yes. Am I burnt out? Every day. But I love it. And that's why I do it. And at the same time, for me, I'm 26 years old too. I still have a lot of energy, even though I wake up with the backache and I feel like I'm getting old, but
it gets worse, friend.
I'm sure. For me, over the past 8 years, I've been through law school where you don't sleep and you work 24/7 to try to be the best. Then I go into a law firm environment where it's exactly that, where you're working even more than you are in law school. And so I've been working 100-hour weeks for 8 years now. It is normal for me. My body's been equipped to that. And so now I think the most important thing, I get my 8 to 9 hours of sleep every night, no matter what. And I have an hour and a half where I go to the gym every single day, no matter what. But other than that, I'm always on the clock and it's okay because I love it and I'm used to it. So, and I also like, everyone asks me like, do you have work-life balance? No, and that's okay. To me, work-life balance doesn't exist if you want to be the best in what you're doing.
It doesn't exist. I believe that that's bullshit. And it's really being present in the moment that you're in. And that's where the balance comes from. And obviously, you found time to date and get married. So you found some balance in there for love and career.
Correct.
I applaud you.
Thanks.
And now you are a 26-year-old white male. So we have this audience that we need to be concerned about right now more than ever. And you've done a fantastic job, whether that's you personally or your family has influenced you to really pay attention to the news, to not be this generation that is falling for. And I'm going to say falling for, because if you just listen, then you know that what you're listening to is wrong. How do we help your generation, your gender, your age bracket in order to do better, to listen to people like yourselves so that we grow, because we're going backwards in a whole lot of ways. And so I feel like talking to you, this is who we need to talk to.
Well, I've said from the beginning that one of the reasons I do this work and one of the biggest problems in American society today is the fact that civics isn't taught in every school around the country in all 50 states. And I firmly believe we grow up being in school more than we're at home. We learn more in school than we do with our own parents at home. And so when you have that type of society, you have to teach students media literacy, ethics, civics, and that should be part of every curriculum. Now, we're not going to get there anytime soon because it's politics. But in the short term, I think you need to make it cool again to like politics and cool again to like the news. I think that we need to stop with the cancel culture on all sides. If you don't check every box of one party or the other, it's okay. And I think that really, especially for young white guys who I've been around and who I spoke to leading up to the November election, I knew they were going to vote for Trump. And it wasn't even a surprising thing to me because it really felt like they felt as though they didn't fit in with the Democratic Party. Because if they didn't check every box with the party, then they couldn't be a part of the party. And I think that is a problem. And it's not just on the left, it's also on the right. But this idea of purity test, this idea of checking every box, that's what loses elections and that's what gets people tired of being involved in politics. They should get involved because they want to get involved, and it shouldn't matter who they are or really what they believe in. Everyone, it really is we should really build a big tent in this kind of system. And so far, we just haven't done a good enough job.
And I think that goes across the board, not just for young men, but for every adult, because it's everyone who puts their head down and says, I'm not political. I don't want to talk politics, when everything in our lives is political. It's all affected. Everyone needs to be talking about this. And that's, I would say that's the one good thing that is coming out of all of this, this mess, this craziness, this disgustingness, is that people are becoming more political. They're becoming, their eyes are opening. They're consuming the news, but they're also getting active. Would you say that you're seeing more people getting active and paying attention?
I would, 100%. But it's actually like, I wouldn't even say it's more people, unfortunately. I think that the divide between the people who are hyperactive and people who are not active at all is growing wider. So I think if you had, like, you know how there are polls where it says for favorability, highly approve, neutral, disapprove, highly disapprove. And I think in the same respect here, hyperactive, active, doesn't really care, not active, very inactive. The hyperactive and the very inactive are growing. Those spaces are growing, but everyone else in between isn't. And so what you're facing is a situation where either people are so tired and disenchanted where they don't think about it at all and don't want to think about it, or they're so scared and they want to be so invested in what's happening that this is their entire life. And unfortunately, we're getting more polarized in that respect rather than kind of just everyone being interested or being trying to be aware.
Do you have any ideas on how we make them more interested? I'm just curious, since you're posting every day, multiple times a day, what do we do to get people more interested?
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't have any ideas. and I say that truthfully and honestly, I don't. And if I did, I'd run for office to try to change that. But I'm not running for office right now. I think for me...
Right now. There's your breaking news right there, everybody.
Who knows? But no, I think that for me, I see my role as kind of one small cog in a much larger wheel. My job is to educate people on the news. My job isn't to get people more active politically or dissuade people from doing that. It's not my job. That's someone else's job. I try to be really good at what I'm doing and not try to touch other facets of that bigger wheel.
And let's talk about for a minute how people can help you, because we've tackled corporations, institutions, and how it's the money grubbing and that's what they're scared of. But as an independent journalist, you depend on all of us.
I do. I mean, the best way you can help me is go and subscribe to my Substack. Truly, that is where I'm building. I'm expanding the team. I'm doing some very exciting and fun projects, even in the next week or so, that I'm going to be announcing soon. And so that's the best way to help me, for sure.
I love it. And I appreciate everything that you are doing to no extent. You have absolutely no idea. You are a household name. And I appreciate everything that you're doing. I appreciate your wife. Please give her a big hug from me.
I will.
Because without you, without her, we wouldn't be as informed as we need to be. And we need independent media. We need our freedom of speech. We need to be informed. So thank you, Aaron, from the bottom of my heart, for everything you're doing.
Thank you for having me on. This was great.
Friends, I'm going to encourage you to go subscribe to Aaron Parnas's Substack. Go spend that money. You can revoke the money on your subscriptions for other outlets, which are canceling and taking away freedom of speech, and put it to good use by subscribing to Aaron's Substack. It is well worth the money, trust me. We need to protect our freedom of speech, our Constitution, and our country, and this is one way to do it. We need to start paying attention to the news. Get active. I will encourage you to be active, to get active. Do not put your head in the sand, because now is not the time to do that. I'm grateful to Aaron not only for all he does every single day for each and every one of us by keeping us informed, but for also taking the time to sit down with me and to have this conversation. I am beyond grateful. Everybody, stay informed, go be informed, and educate yourselves and others.